Hello, welcome to another episode of The Appointed Encounter. I am Yvette Houghton, and we are journeying through John chapter 4. We have seen appointed times to meet the Lord in producing encounters, encountering Him at the appointed moment as our scapegoat, and last week we heard of the appointed encounter that involves us and the must-needs areas in which we must go to reap the harvest in order to present it. We've now come to verse 5, and we will see our Lord as he comes to the city of Sychar in Samaria. There's an old landmark there. Let's go meet him. In John chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "Then he cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." I wondered, what is it about this city that it's named in the Bible? The woman that he spoke to wasn't named. Why is it important for us to know the name of this city? I also wondered, why is the geographical location detailed here? John points out that this city is near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Why do we need this detail? What is he saying to us today? So let's do some digging. The city of Sychar, the name actually means drunken. It's actually Sychar, and it means drunken. The Hebrew word is shakar. It means a strong drink, an intoxicating drink, fermented or an intoxicating liquor. It's from the root word shakar, to become drunk or be drunken, be intoxicated. Metaphorically, in the prophets, they use it as the wicked are said to be drunken since they rush by a kind of madness upon their own destruction. I thought this was really, really interesting, but let's go ahead and continue to dig into the parcel of land that Jacob gave to Joseph. And here we find that Jacob obtained this parcel of land in Genesis chapter 33, verses 18 through 20. And it reads as so. "And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan. And when he came from Padanaram and pitched his tent before the city, he bought a parcel of field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel, the mighty God of Israel." Now, after this purchase, Jacob's daughter Dinah was defiled by Shechem. Her brothers took vengeance into their own hands and caused Jacob to be in a great strait. At the direction of the Lord, he left the area and went to Bethel. It was soon after this that his name was changed to Israel. The land is Jacob's by purchase, but he loses it after it is invaded by the Amorites. And why wouldn't it be? He's not there to protect it. So he must now fight to get it back and regain it by conquest. This is found when he bequeaths the land to Joseph in Genesis 48, verses 21 through 22. It says, "And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow." This piece of land has been both purchased and conquered. He had pitched his tent there. The territory was marked. It is there as a landmark. There are borders to it. How do we know there's a marker there? Joseph is buried there. So let's look again in Genesis at chapter 50, verses 24 and 25. "And Joseph said to his brethren, I die. and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry my bones up from hence. And so then we read in Exodus 13 and 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. There is a landmark. There's a boundary there. And so now Jesus has taken his journey through this area. Jesus is coming to this city, Sychar by name, drunken. This is a place that is inhabited by persons that are half foreigners, who were transplanted there and taught about the God of Israel by a priest who was assigned by the Assyrian king. These people didn't even grasp that worship was to be done in Jerusalem. They don't get that boundaries are set. But now Jesus has come upon the scene. He knows Proverbs 22 and 28 that says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. He is here to bring revelation to the people and regain territory. He would soon purchase it with his blood and conquer it once and for all by his resurrection. There are landmarks that have been set by our fathers, boundaries that we in our minds, just as those of Sychar, drunk and driven madly to our own destruction, or as in Revelation 18 and 3 that says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. We've removed ancient landmarks. We've removed boundaries that have been set. They are removed to make Christianity convenient. They are removed to satisfy our lust, as Paul said in Second Timothy 4 and 3 and Ephesians 4:14, by not enduring sound doctrine, but satisfying our itching ears with teachers carrying us about with every wind and doctrine. But Jesus needed to come to meet us with truth and to satisfy our thirsting with living water. He has appointed this time to meet you where you are and bring you within the boundaries that have been set. He is here to take back territory with the sword of his word that will pierce even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. His truth will make you free, even free to live within boundaries, knowing that we can stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Tonight, I pray that he come to you. I pray that you encounter him at that ancient landmark so that the truth of his words will make you free indeed. May God richly bless you. May you be at peace. May the grace of our Lord and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with you. May you be at liberty within the boundaries of God's word that frees you to everlasting life. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Like and share this podcast with your family and friends. Make sure to follow me on Podbean, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and my YouTube channel. Reach out to me at yvette@theappointedencounter.com. Remember, my name is spelled Y-V-E-T-T-E. So yvette@theappointedencounter.com. I love you all. Blessings, grace, and peace.